Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Something can be put into words in this way, and it's just like, and it's just words, right? But it can launch you to this whole new path. So this is the invitation. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you've touched the center of your own sorrow and if you've been opened by life's betrayals and have become shriveled and closed from the fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it, fade it, or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own. If you can dance with wildness, let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes, without cautioning us to be careful, to be realistic, to remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself. If you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul. If you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty even when it is not pretty. And if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the silver of the full moon, yes. It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after a night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done to feed the children. It doesn't interest me who you are, who you know, or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or whom you have studied with. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else fails away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments. So feel me when I bring it, sing it loud. I'm from the
loop and I'm proud. Run a mile for the cause. I'm right. Hi guys, it's your girl Nahama, your favorite Jew from the Loo. Welcome back to my podcast. And today I am so thrilled and excited to have Luna. Welcome.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
And just for vulnerability's sake, I love to share the behind the scenes just so everyone knows we're not here to try to be perfect, even though I do edit my podcast and try to make us be as perfect as possible.
Yeah.
But just being vulnerable, because I'm reading The Gift of Imperfection right now by Brené Brown.
That's a good one.
I just started it and it's really hitting home. And so we have already sat down and shot this episode. And let's just say our raging ADHD
didn't serve us that day.
Didn't serve us. But more importantly, I deleted the video. So that's on me. It was meant to be.
Yeah.
It and it's just another excuse for us to hang out
together.
Not that we need an excuse, but here we are.
Yeah.
Before we begin, I just want to say I'm so glad that you're a coffee lover and we're drinking Le Cafe, my cold brew. I like to combine my light roast, which is a honey Colombian, and my dark roast, which is a Sumatra.
I'm over here
So cheers.
Cheers.
To us.
Yay.
To us on this random Monday in August. Just shooting a podcast.
My birthday is the end of this week, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's on Friday.
Oh my gosh. What do they say? Happy solar returns.
Yeah.
I love to start off my podcast like sharing how I know my guests.
Yeah.
And what's really unique about how we connected is that I have just like fallen in love with like wellness this year. And so within like the past year, I've discovered breath work and ice plunges and saunas and just like the benefits of that. So connecting with breath and exposure with your part of that team.
Yes.
I've been going around like everyone so far, but your team keeps growing. So I keep having to like
add more, right?
But we've had Cody on, we've had Josh on. And like when Josh came on, he's been so sweet because he's been like giving me all these other people. He's like, you got to have this person on. You got to have that on. And when he came to you, he's like, Luna is just such a beautiful soul.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So let's start off with actually talking about your name.
Yeah.
Because I am notorious for forgetting last names, but you're more like, you know, just share. Well, it's just Luna.
Yeah, it's just Luna.
So like, let's go into the meaning.
Yeah, that kind of came around. So my given name is Linda, but it never really landed in the way I wanted it to. It always felt like it just kind of wasn't me. And then eventually, you know, at that time when I decided to change my name about 2 years ago, I was listening to Ram Dass a lot at that time and just like kind of, you know, enjoying the what do you call it? Just being able to microdose on a very like low level, but just like giving myself that freedom to think and just to be in my thoughts, but without any like boundary, you know, and like just rules almost. And I had a moment where I was just like connecting with my name, my given name, and like kind of colliding all the letters together. And it kind of shaped into Luna. Like if you write it out and stuff, like
it's
you
like
can kind of see it. Yeah, it really felt like it for me. And funny enough, I was actually kind of, I ran across an old picture, like, I don't know, maybe a month ago. Me and my friends were at like a festival in Thailand where I used to live, and we decided to dress up as the sun and the moon. Well, I actually wanted to be the sun, funny enough, but then she was like, no, I do. And she's just one of those friends that I was like, okay, like that's fine.
Yeah.
And then I became the moon, like, but reluctantly. And like, I had no like idea that I wanted to be called Luna at that time. It was just like, so there's pictures of me like dressed up like the moon in a very like cute way. And I was like thinking about wanting to talk about my name change, because I actually haven't talked about it. I've been very like, ask people to call me it, and they have, and just kind of, it's been just kind of happening. And
yeah,
I've just been stepping into this like new part of myself. That's like a whole nother journey within itself, is just the fact that I've grown into this person.
I love that you have like so much meaning and like a backstory to it as well. Mm-hmm. And there's so much intention behind it. Because in Judaism, there's a lot of meaning behind naming your children, right? And so as someone who has the unique name to the rest of the world.
You do. We have a very unique name. I love your name.
It means comfort. I don't know if I ever told you that.
Oh, no, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
So my full name is Nechama Tzivya. So Tzivya is after my great-grandmother. This is actually her ring that I'm usually wearing. And or Sylvia in English. And she was a very strong, dynamic woman. And according to the Jewish faith, there's a tradition to, you know, name the baby after someone who you're inspired by, right? Or just like a character trait that you really want your child to have. So she was a wonderful woman. So everyone in our family, the first girl in the family is named Tzivya. But my mom was like, that's a lot of personality. I think we want to tone it down a bit. And she always loved the name Nechama anyways. So she named me Nechama Tzivya to kind of chill out that strong personality. Yeah.
I like that.
And some people, you ask them their names if they have unique names, and there's no story. They're like, I don't know. I don't know what my name means.
Oh, I definitely have met people in my life where like at festivals, and I've met a couple feathers, and like, and I was like, okay, like, you know, that's great. I was like, and I was like, oh, what's it mean? They're like, I just feel like a feather. I'm like, you know what? That's good enough sometimes.
Yeah. But it is so much more fun when someone has like a story and a meaning behind it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I agree. Thank you.
Yeah. That's really cool. It's interesting that you mentioned with like with microdosing, because I was just thinking about how there's another podcast that I like listening to, The Higher Self. And he really talks about how like he had that old school masculinity, and he it wasn't later until he did like a whole ayahuasca trip, starting with microdosing, but then eventually working his way up, that he like grew. Like, I don't know, he just feels like the better version of himself, which I think is so unique.
It's interesting you talk about ayahuasca, because I had a few friends that used to guide retreats and down in the Amazons and all that. And,
oh, cool.
Ecuador. Mm-hmm. And they would always ask if I wanted to come. And I was just like, no, I really don't think I'm ready. Like, I knew, like, there was a lot of fear around it. Really.
Oh, yeah. It's a vulnerability. Yeah. So, speaking of vulnerabilities, that is truly.
No, it really is. And like, I just never felt ready. And like, I think this year I started like thinking about it a little bit more.
Really?
Yeah. And just kind of letting, you know, having the thought, it's not like needs to happen right away kind of thing, but it's like definitely there. Yeah. And I'm like starting to feel more in that space of like, okay, I think I'm ready. I'm ready for that, you know, portal into like the omniverse of myself. Yeah.
This is such a perfect connection, actually, because there's this your favorite poem that I would love for you to share.
Oh, yeah.
That's called The Invitation.
That's true, yeah.
And so, like, so much of our conversation that we've had and that we're going to be having is all about, like, that call, that invitation that
this is true.
Life has for you.
Yeah, way to bring it back full circle.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, I'd love for us to share that poem now.
Yeah. If you haven't heard it, it's by Oriah Mountain Dreamer. So this is something that kind of, I don't know, I found like at least 10 years ago, and it just felt like an invitation for me even reading it. And I was like, if something can be put into words in this way, and it's just like, and it's just words, right? But it can launch you to this whole new path. So this is the invitation. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for, and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you've touched the center of your own sorrow, and if you've been opened by life's betrayals and have become shriveled and closed from the fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it, fade it, or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own. If you can dance with wildness, let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes, without cautioning us to be careful, to be realistic, to remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself. If you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul. If you can be faithless, and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty even when it is not pretty. And if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the silver of the full moon, yes. It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after a night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done to feed the children. It doesn't interest me who you are, who you know, or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or whom you have studied with. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else fails away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments.
I love that. Every time you read it, it's just like, it hits home.
It hits home.
Every time.
Even for me, like, I mean, I can read that over and over again. I get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you cannot, you know.
There's a movie that Robin Williams was playing in.
Mm-hmm.
And he was teaching the students, male students, about poetry, and as you can imagine, they weren't that interested in the beginning, but he was like, the purpose of poetry isn't for survival. We don't need it. There's no actual necessity to it, but to be human, to be part of humanity is so much more than just survival.
Yeah.
Once we have that, like Maslow's hierarchy of mm-hmm. needs, once we have our basic needs taken care of, mm-hmm. then we can elevate mm-hmm. and we can work on beauty and what brings our soul joy and sets that on fire.
Exactly.
Which is so cool. Yeah. So where were you in your life when you discovered this poem?
Gosh. Oh man. I think I was tapping into like human design and gene keys and like personality stuff. Right. And I think it was right after I moved to Thailand. And that's when all this stuff just started colliding. Yeah, it was just like a time of like, that's literally what it was. It was my invitation to figure out who I was.
Yeah.
I think, so this was 2015 when I left for Thailand. And it was-
It's been 10 years.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, it has. Wow. Yeah, it was February of 2015. And I just remember during that time in my life, like right before, like, you know, obviously I came to buying the ticket and all that, like 6 months prior, I think I just had a moment where I was like, is this really my life? Is this all there is? And it wasn't like glamorous by any means. I worked for my mom, actually worked for the family business, but I was doing the same thing every day, like kind of just like a monotonous kind of thing, like in and out. And I was just like, I just don't know if I want this to be my life. And I kept thinking about that over and over again. And all of a sudden life just started opening up little inch by inch.
Mm.
Yeah, it was cool. And just like the things I kept saying, all of a sudden people were asking me if I wanted to go places or do stuff.
Don't you love that?
No, I mean like, it's of course, hindsight's 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can connect the dots looking back, but never forward, always back. But like, I remember a friend of mine that I just knew from CrossFit was just invited me to, you know, Norway. And I was just like, okay.
Had you traveled before?
No, never.
That was your first time?
Yeah, that was my first time. And okay. And that friend, shout out Colin, he was just one of those friends that I think saw how much like work I put into my life, like just in work in general. That's all I really did.
Yeah.
But he was just like, hey, I got a ton of frequent flyer miles. Like, I see how much
he paid for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. That's rare. You don't see that now. You know what I mean? You don't. And this was just purely a friend, platonic friend. It wasn't anything like, you know, like anything like that. It was just, he saw how much I worked and what I did. They even came to my, like, it was like a group of us. And it's like, he even came to my graduation, like my, like how, you know, it's like all this stuff that like, that's how I knew like he cared, like all these friends of mine. And there was like a few of us that went and like, it was just, it just allowed me to see life. It was the tipping point. It was everything I needed to like start what I needed to do.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Before you went on your first trip with mm-hmm. him to leave the country, mm-hmm. and like, I feel like that was probably a huge catapult.
Oh, it was. Yeah, absolutely.
It's traveling, especially when you leave the U.S.
Yeah, exactly. I had to get my passport and all that stuff. So it's like, and the fact that like all I had to worry about was like room and board and like
yeah.
food, right? And then just having someone that like was like, I want to show you what life looks like. It's the invitation, you know.
Because yeah.
I could have said no. I could have been like riddled with fear of like whatever.
And people do say no.
Yeah, and people do say no, you know, or make excuses. And like I remember people asking me, why Norway? I was like, I don't know. I was like, it just, why not? Like I had no idea. I had no thoughts about travel. Like that wasn't in my, you know, world or realm of conversations that happen daily. So I didn't have an idea of where I wanted to go anyway. You know, I never really cared to go to Mexico or like, you know, do those Cancun trips that was like really popular at my like, you know, age group,
yeah.
spring break and all that stuff. It never really interested me to do that either. Like, of course, the thought was there, but it never happened. And then when this came up, it was like this like feeling inside of me, like you got to go. Oh, sorry. That's when I was reading The Power of Now as well. And that's when also life opened up in a whole different way with like how my thought patterns were happening. Cause I was a very like anxious and worrisome kind of person.
I'm relating like, so much to you right now.
And okay. It's like, I remember exactly how I felt during that time and like how I would be so worried if like friends didn't text me back, you know? And like, I don't know, after reading that book, my whole like thought, like everything from like, oh, understanding the present moment is a thing and it wasn't just past or future, is like, cool, you can be right here.
Be peaceful with it.
Yes, exactly.
And that doesn't mean you don't have dreams and desires. You're just really appreciating where you're at. There's another book that I just have been reading or listening to the audio version, actually. It's called The Giving.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this one?
I have heard of it. I haven't read it, though.
It's really amazing. It's about how you can build wealth. But basically, the concept is that the most efficient way to build wealth, and this goes along with like Kabbalah and manifesting and all this stuff.
Yeah, talking my language.
Right? Is all about being in a state of having. Wherever you are, whatever possessions you have, whatever job you have, whatever relationships you have in your life, really just feeling abundant and wealthy in that. You know, like let's say you're doing the laundry, for example. Most people, I'm not going to say all because I actually have met a few people who do like doing laundry, but most people don't enjoy it.
I don't either.
But like last week for the first time when I was doing my laundry, I was like, after reading that book, I was like, wait, I'm so grateful that I have all these clothes.
So true.
And like, let me really take a lot of pride in like taking care of my space, like cleaning my home, doing my laundry, folding things away. Instead of like, we all have like a chair, I feel like, in our room. We're like,
or the floor.
Or a floor.
Yeah.
Depends. I am definitely, or your bed. I do the bed.
I love doing the dishes. Yes. That is my jam.
Okay.
I'm a dish person. Give me dishes all day. But like when it comes to laundry, I'm just like, I guilty as charged. Like I will move it from my bed to the floor, back to the bed, back to the floor at least two or three times before I'm like, I have to like mentally prepare. I'm like, okay, now I'll go and fold the laundry and put it away.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Like there's some funny memes that come out where like if you have like ADHD or something and then like the person's like sleeping next to their clothes.
That's literally me.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Because what I'll do is I'll put it on my bed.
I relate hard to that. Like, it's funny because it's like, oh, yeah, that is so true. I've definitely like shoved it to the side and just like slept on the other side that doesn't have the clothes.
But the whole concept of putting on your bed is that, oh, I for sure won't go to sleep with this on my bed. So if it's on my bed,
so true. Yeah.
It has to be done.
When you're, you know, when you're single and no one else is sleeping on the other side.
Literally.
Yeah.
You're like, it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, exactly.
Or you push it off the bed.
It's fine.
Who cares? No one knows. But I think like there's just, if you think about any time you have something for the first time, like the first time I ever bought a car, I mean, I guess it's silly to think this way, but I never thought I would get a car. I know that sounds silly, but like I was just so grateful for having a car. But like that first week, I remember just being so in awe of it and wanting to take such good care of it, you know?
Yeah.
And we lose that after a while. Like
it's, that's actually, you know, funny enough, if anybody likes taking like courses or anything like that, there's a free one on Coursera with the Happiness Lab. It's through Yale. I took it and it's really good. It talks about like the things that inherently you think will make you happy, like buying a car. And like, and it doesn't, because it doesn't have the same like value, like input, like when in your like heart, mind, and you know, what is that, mind, body, and soul.
Yeah.
So like memories is actually the biggest thing that you, that has the biggest ROI for us as we age, is thinking back, because you can recall the memory and how you felt and like relive it almost.
Right.
Yeah. It's really cool to, I highly recommend anybody take that course, because it's really cool to see the happiness scale of like where you think you are and then like where you're at after you finish that course.
Right.
Yeah. It's cool.
And I think all of this also connects with a big part of what we were talking about as well, is the pause. The power of the pause.
Power of the pause.
Yeah.
Shout out Josh.
Shout out Kabbalah.
My it's so funny. I know we had this conversation like but it's amazing. Like for me, as someone has patterns and stuff that doesn't serve me either, like and I learned it recently, you know, and it's crazy because I feel pretty like, I don't know, I feel like I'm good with all the wellness stuff. I'm pretty present with my own being and like, you know, being aware, self-aware. But sometimes you need friends in your life to kind of call you out and just like let you know that, hey, you can be a better person. Like you can be better than this.
And
like,
Josh will do that.
And how about you? How about that? You know?
Yeah.
And I think we all do it for each other though. That's another thing is that like you need those people in your life that can give you that kind of feedback, because sometimes you just, you know, through your own biases and stuff that like keeps you, you know, patterns that don't serve you, keep you, you know, boxed in. So like when someone says something that it's like opening a door and like being like, hey, I invite you to walk through that because I think that you're going to come out to be a different and better person.
I don't know if I have that many people who do that for me.
Well, we got you, girl.
Okay.
And it's only when it comes up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like you're seeking this stuff out and being like, hey,
right.
Like, you know, nitpicking about anybody. That's a whole nother level of not
right.
being friendly. Like it's yeah, there's definitely discernment that comes along with it. You know, it's like, if you notice something and it's like, you let it happen a few times and you're like, hey, I noticed that you do this whenever you're in this situation or
right.
XYZ, you know, there's constructive, you know, it's constructive criticism in a very like loving way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's an art, I think.
Oh, no, absolutely.
To give
it's not easy to
yeah.
like be able to give. And like, there's also the other half of it is receiving it. It's like, I
yeah.
didn't have to, you know what I mean? I could have totally went a whole different way with it and not received it and like dug my heels in and just kind of like got defensive. But yeah, I've learned to not do that. Because like sometimes the things that like hit deep, especially when you want to dig your heels in, it's when because you know it about yourself, but having someone bring it to light is a very uncomfortable feeling. Like it can bring up a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know? But that's the stuff we're supposed to be working on. That's the human experience, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also just sometimes it's weird having that mirror thrown in front of you where you're
so
like,
true. So true.
But you know,
it's a time and place, like what it's like set and setting, you know, it's if they know how, when to approach it and how to approach it, it doesn't feel like it's just like being like a curveball being like thrown at you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So reverse engineering where you are right now, right? Because you're
yeah.
here in St. Louis, you're like in the epicenter of your wellness journey and
yeah,
helping others on theirs,
good,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But going back to before, when you're from here, you're
mm-hmm.
working for your family with a family business,
mm-hmm.
beginning those questions, listening to the little whispers of the universe.
Yeah.
And then you take the first leap to go to Norway.
Uh-huh.
From that trip to Norway to you finally moving to Thailand,
mm-hmm.
like what was that journey? I mean, I know that's probably a lot
yeah,
that led up to it.
But I love that question though. Like, yeah, there's a lot. Definitely packed into it. But a lot of it was just, yeah, listening to the signs, like, and they were so subtle and fun and like lighthearted, really, that you don't necessarily know that it's like a sign,
mm.
you know, it's like this tiny little breadcrumb, but can you see it? Are you looking for it kind of thing? You know, after I got back, my world was open, like my whole like heart space, everything was just like just wide open for anything to come in.
Yeah.
Anything good at least. And like I got back, my cousin, funny enough, was like, hey, like, did you go to see the Avett Brothers concert in St. Louis? I was like, no, I missed it because I was in Norway. And she was like, oh, they're coming out to Colorado. You should come and see it here. And I said, yeah, I should just move out there too. And I was joking. And she was like, yeah, you could. She's like, I have an extra room.
Wow.
And then and thankfully, like at the time she needed help with like her dogs too. And just it all kind of like worked out really well where she gave me a place to stay for free.
It's amazing.
And, yeah. And like
a real invitation.
I know.
Like,
that's
so
why,
cool.
I think that's why I love like the fact that people are there to help you. And it's like, you just got to put it out into the world,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just got to like put that feeling and hope that
you literally spoke it
yeah.
into existence.
Yeah.
You know,
and
you're like, I should move out there. And then she's like, well,
you
can.
Yeah,
you
can. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, like, and here's all the practical things. Like, here's a place to live.
Yeah.
Here's a way to make
and
some money. Yeah.
Funny enough, that same year, I had like these like incidences or coincidences that I'd be like, oh, that's so funny. I would ask for something and it just show up in my
yeah.
life. But I didn't know what it was called. Like, I wasn't
okay.
in the spiritual realm of like, community or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I knew it existed, but I didn't know what it was called.
You're like, what a coincidence.
Yeah, exactly. Just, haha, that's so funny. Like, you know.
I'm lucky.
Yeah. And then I was, so I used to be a hairstylist and still do it on the side here and there. But I was working at a barbershop down in Denver called Floyd's. And my manager at that time was like, I was explaining it to him, like, just like, you know, doe-eyed, just like so excited about this thing I found that happens to me. And he goes, he just looks at me and goes, yeah, that's called law of attraction. I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, you should like read The Secret. Mm. And it was like so simple and just, you know, matter of fact that I was like, oh, okay. And then I did. And it's the same invitation and that, sorry, like coming back around to it.
It's our
like,
theme.
I know. Sorry if it gets annoying anybody. Yeah. But like, it was the same thing. I was cutting hair, you know, and these, my clients at the time were just like, you know, coming back, had all these experiences in life, like coming back from Peace Corps, doing all these travel and all this stuff. And it just sounded different than what I grew up with. And then when someone was like, hey, yeah, you could totally move to Thailand. I was like, wait, me? I can?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, absolutely. Do you have your bachelor's degree? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh yeah, you can totally be an English teacher out there. Mm. And my brain went like, wait, really? And they're like, yeah, just Google it. I'm like, oh, okay. That's simple. All right. Well, I guess I will. So then I did literally that week. And then that week I found a program, like bit the bullet kind of thing and just signed up for it. Had no idea if it was real or not. No idea if it was a scam. Legit, like, thought, okay, I could be scammed out of a lot of money right now, but oh well, let's see what happens. I wasn't.
Good.
Yeah, and it was, like, part online and then part in person, so it was, like, gearing up to leave in that February of 2015, left everything I knew.
That's wild.
Yeah. I will kind of backtrack a little, or, like, fast forward and, it, like, coming back home. I remember someone asking me, like, why did I leave? And I was like, well, nothing felt right for me.
Here in St. Louis.
Yeah, it just didn't, like, I just felt totally, like, not where I needed to be. Like, kind of just disassociated, almost sad. Mm. Like, I wasn't sure what was wrong, and I didn't understand it. Like, I really didn't. And then at that time also, like, I didn't have a great, like, relationship with my family either because I worked for them. So like
it was too close.
Oh
yeah.
It's like my relationship with my family now is great. I love being around them. I love hanging out with them. But that time in my life, I hated them. I resented being around them, everything, to the point where like it wasn't healthy. And like I remember just thinking, like, do you feel any love coming from me? Because I don't. Like, I don't feel any love coming at you. And I don't feel any love coming towards me either. So it's like I need to leave. I need to get away far from you as possible. And that just meant like distance.
Yeah.
And distance really does make the heart grow fonder. It's not just in like romantic relationships.
Yeah.
It's like within actual just relationships across the board. And
you went on a hero's journey.
Oh yeah, pretty much.
Like I know.
There's jokes around like the prodigal son returns kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like I am that, you know,
and
like I was grateful for everything, but like, it was definitely like a journey I had to take to understand, you know, the whole story. Like,
right.
And having a conversation with a friend who never left St. Louis, and he goes, and it wasn't anything against him. It was just a matter of fact, right? He was just like, well, why would I leave? Nothing was wrong.
Right.
And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, wow, nothing was wrong for you. Okay, yeah, that's cool. I'm glad nothing was wrong for you. And you got to just, like, live this, like, amazing life here. Like, and so that's why each of our journeys are our own, you know? Whatever happens, it's like, take that and, like, what can you, you know, what ingredients can you throw in to make it exactly what you need to
be? That's very is egalitarian the right way to look at it?
I think so. Yeah.
Or it's very, that's a very like kind way
to
look at everyone's story. And obviously it's true. Like everyone's journey is different.
Yeah.
But low key, I love being on the side where we have to leave and travel and go on a different journey. Like, I think there's something so transformative, especially even if it's not like living there for a long period of time, even if it's just visiting.
Yeah, it can be, that's a
like a week or something.
Yes, you know? Exactly. It could be a couple weeks, a month. Like, I think when I say move and live somewhere else, it's like try it for a month. It doesn't have to be anywhere crazy. Like everywhere, you know, the US, I mean, we have the most powerful passport, to be honest, like in some ways. And it's like, if you, most places you can enter on arrival and it's, you don't need a visa and you can stay 30 days. It's like, if you have the opportunity and you are in a job that you could take sabbatical or like leave for a few, like a month and let your, obviously the place of business know that you're leaving for 1 month and you're going to come right back. And then they can figure it out. You save enough money. Because, like, if you go somewhere like Thailand and you save $2,000, that's, like,
you're gold. Good.
You're good. Yeah. Like, yeah, that would cover – and then that would obviously expense, like, you already – you're living in where you're at. And, like, plus the $2,000 for Thailand alone, you know, not including the plane ticket. That literally – you would live like a, you know, like –
a king.
Like, kind of, yeah, basically, like, you would be able to do anything you heart, your heart desired, because it, because of the, you know, the value of the dollar to, you know, baht is, like, tenfold.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, it's, I'm starting my traveler's journey, right? Yeah. I think right now, the way my life has kind of been, I'm like, every 3 years has kind of been my sweet spot for traveling internationally.
And it, it's like, don't compare your journey to anybody else's.
Yeah.
What does it look like for you? How do you want to set it up? I know friends that are international friends, because it's just like, I think the US is more used to like career driven, like establish your career, do the thing.
And then when you retire.
Yeah. Buy the house, all that stuff. I have friends that literally like, you know, drive trucks for 6 months, waitress for 6 months, like, and they do it by season. So they understand that, oh, if I do it during the holiday season and it's like busy during this time, cool, by like, you know, spring, summer, I'll take off that month because that's the fun month anyways. Yeah. And that's the time I want to, you know, like take all everything I did
that
here,
was shocking for me.
Right. And it's like, so it's like, we can live however we want to live. It's you create the rules, like create your own rules, like whatever serves you best. And, you know, and you feel like you can, you're operating like as your best self. It's like, you can't lose. Like, cause then you will come from a place of just like abundance and love and being able to like have that relationship with other people around you, because everything that like, if we can't like, sorry if that's confusing, but like, I guess the way my brain's thinking is like, I think a lot of our pain and the things that we go through is just like stuff that we can't get out. Like, we can't figure out how to like.
The body holds a score.
Yeah, like kind of, yeah, exactly. And so obviously it ripples into like your relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So then like, you want to know why you can't get close to like your family or other friends or whatever that's happening, or that are like having a good life and you're like mad at them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, maybe that's more just like, it's like an, you know, inside job.
So Kabbalah talks about, and this is like super woo woo and esoteric. Yeah. So like, I'm already deep dive into like my study of it, but it's like, everything's an illusion. And really the only like relationship that you need to work on is the relationship with self and the relationship with the creator. And so, and that's going to mean something different to everyone, right? It could be more of a spiritual journey. It could be a religious journey. Everyone's going to be different. But it is really wild, because sometimes maybe I don't have someone to give me feedback, but for my own self, if I'm not liking the way the world is responding to me, I take that as feedback.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
To be like, what am I putting out there? Because I don't know if you ever had those days where you're just feeling good, serendipitous, the right things are happening. You're you're out and about and everyone's nice. Like everyone's smiling at you. And you're like, why is everyone so nice today? And like, meanwhile, like your energy is just magnetic.
Yeah. You know? That's a great way to put it. Magnetic is that's it.
That's like, the goal. That's what we all want. And like in an ideal world, we'd be at that frequency all the time, right? But life has challenges. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to have different seasons. So I think there are times when it's like, maybe we're a little more dissociated. Maybe we're more in pain. Maybe we're more like things, either new challenges or old ones that were like, I didn't even know this was still an issue. It's like, comes right back to the surface. And it's like, yes. Now it's time.
Yeah. You know, exactly. And like, again, back to the human experience, like that's what we're here to learn, you know, to find peace in ourselves. And even though, even if we find peace, this is the part where it gets fun with like everything I've learned at Breath and Exposure and just like, you know, finding ways to like regulate ourselves. It's like, even when we find peace, it slightly feels uncomfortable because you're so used to the stimulus of like something happening. So like peace almost feels uncomfortable and not safe because you're so used to the stimulus of something happening and being like, you know, excited or, you know, butterflies in your stomach kind of feeling. So like,
can I pause for a moment and interject? Because this is something that I've been thinking about and I haven't had a chance to discuss it with anyone. And I feel like this conversation and you'd be the perfect person. On that note of peace, because I feel like I've finally gone to a place of true peace about where I'm at. And I've noticed that especially America and like the entrepreneur world also too, the consumerism plus the entrepreneurship is very much based on finding what your lacks are. To be like, you won't be happy till you have this car or till you have this relationship. Or like even in entrepreneurship, like they're like, it's so great that you're on this journey. But like, if only you had these three skill sets, come to our mastermind. You too can be a winner. You know what I mean? We're all feeding on these lacks. And it's been something where I'm really having a hard time vocalizing what I'm saying. But are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yeah, I get a little bit of what you're saying. And it's like, gosh, we can get into like hour long conversation this alone, but it's interesting because I definitely have seen people say stuff like, you know, and there's the other half of it. It's like, hey, like focus on your strongest suits of yourself, like focus on that and run with it. Because, and I agree with more on that line. It's like, maybe, when you, you know, if you want to, focus on the things that you are in lacking of, it's like, you can do that, you know, but why not just like, also dive into the parts of you that are really good, you know, and see where that goes.
Like strengthen those
areas. Yeah. And because like, if you're already good at that and it naturally comes to you, like, then, oh my gosh, like run with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then find like, build your team, find your resource.
Can I just pause and say?
Yeah.
So like part of this journey that I'm on with like Cafe and all this is, is that I used to get in trouble in the corporate world all the time for taking too many coffee breaks and chit-chatting too much with people and never wanting to sit at my desk, right?
Yeah.
So I just started a new barista job and this particular coffee shop, he's like, I really want you to really get to know the regulars, like chit-chat with them, know their names, schools. Cool. Like I'm making coffee. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm literally getting paid and praised for my strengths that were once a weakness.
Yes.
And that is such a cool thing. Like, I love that as an adult, we have the freedom to change our environment where we're not considered a failure.
Not at all.
But in certain areas, that would be a failure.
Yeah.
If I'm working a corporate job and they're paying me to sit at my computer and do my job, it's not okay that I'm just running around the office chit-chatting,
and
you know?
I think that, and some people might prefer to like be like, do the job, go home, and
they do,
and they love that,
they
and that's,
do,
and I think that's to each their own. So yeah, it's like, maybe it's not about like finding the things that are lacking. It's like finding the people that enjoy doing those things and putting them, you know, in your inner circle and saying, hey, I need help with this. Like, what do you think? You know?
Yeah.
So yeah. And it's coming from, you know, that space of like, not lack, but abundance.
Right.
Yeah.
So going back to you and your story.
Yeah.
So you moved to Thailand. You took the leap of faith. How long did you live in Thailand for?
I lived there from 2015 to 2019. So about 4 years.
Oh, that's
but
a
I was
long
gone
time.
From St. Louis for about six.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I just don't know many people who come back.
Yeah. Everybody always asks me why I came back.
You know? Like, obviously your family's here.
Yes,
right?
My family's here, there's so many layers. I often also ask why I came back. But not in that way. More just like, what was like, and but I, you know, you remember the feeling. It's the classic, like, grass is greener on the other side. Mm. I love Thailand. I really did. But it was a part of me on the fourth year, I knew it was time to go. Like, because I felt like I wasn't growing. And, you know, I was kind of living in La La Land a little bit, which I was totally fine with.
Yeah.
But, like, I also felt like I noted, like, understood my parents were getting older and I wasn't spending time with them. My sister had kids. She has five. And, like, I didn't know any of the kids, barely.
Wow.
So, like, I just, there was a part of me that was getting pulled back.
Yeah.
But I was trying to do it slowly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'll go live in Portugal for a little bit and, like, make my way back west. Because it is a culture shock going from Asia to back to the U.S. It's just different. And there's, it's like not many people talk about it. It kind of gets glazed over unless you meet somebody that had the same experience as you and you're able to, like, immediately connect with them because they know the feeling that it's hard to describe, but they know the feeling. And so, yeah, it was just me wanting to go to the next, like, level. It's like the next chapter, right? And well, I got to Portugal and was there for about 2 months and then lost my job. So I was catapulted into back to the US, you know, back to St. Louis, like, quicker than I wanted to come back.
Yeah.
And that was, like, when I officially was like, okay, I'm here. It was like September 2019.
Okay.
So then I was, like, going through it. Oh my gosh. Like, it was, like, the hardest thing I think I've ever gone through where I was just like, I felt like a failure because I was 32 at the time and, like, living in my parents' home. I didn't have a job. I went back to the nail job, like, and worked at Starbucks for a couple months, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I there was a part of me that had to get off my high horse too. Like, I had an ego. Yeah, for sure. Like, you travel, like, you can't help it, you know? And it just happens because you're like, but I traveled the world.
Well, there's traveling and there's also living abroad too.
Right.
Right. So, like, I think when you have lived on your own away from living with your parents and had that experience, it's almost impossible to come back because they still remember you as you were. Gosh.
That's exactly what happened.
But you have transformed.
And they don't see that. And there's that classic, like, Ram Dass quote coming back to him. It's like, you know, if you think you're spiritually enlightened, spend a week with family.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened to me. And my mom's like, do you think you changed? And she's pressing the buttons. Mm. She knows exactly which buttons to press.
Yeah.
But she's a funny lady. So we have a really good relationship now, though. So, yeah, obviously, like, by the end of, like, 2019, like, you know, coming around to, like, New Year's and all that, like, 2020, you know, classic.
Oh,
we were all, like, 2020 vision happening. And I just remember, like, I was so excited about 2020. I really was. And I was just like, this is going to be amazing. It's going to be an amazing year.
Especially anyone in the spiritual community.
Yeah,
because of the number. Everyone's like, 2020.
All the things. And,
what,
like,
a psych.
So, like, when COVID happened and it just landed on all of us, I kind of was already in a good space, like, really good.
Okay.
Because of the fact that I went through the shit, like, right before it, like, the grieving and the having to sit still because I knew I wasn't going to be traveling anymore at that time. And I didn't know what would my future look like. And I was, like, trying to do the life coach thing for a while. So when COVID landed, I was like, it put everybody on stop. Like, on pause. No one got to travel. I'm not going to lie. It made me happy that no one got to travel. Because then, I mean, like, I wasn't in, like, the space of, like, having to watch all my friends travel.
Mm, okay.
So I was kind of like, cool, we all get to sit in this boat, like, in a very, like, fun way. Like, I know some people, I know, like, COVID, everybody had a different experience. But, like, for me, it was exactly what I needed in that year. Because
do you want to hear something random?
Huh?
Do you want to hear something random?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So just brushing on my Kilimanjaro trip, I'm still processing it.
Yeah.
But a realization that I had recently, my experience with 2020, because I was 23 when it happened, was, like, I feel like I lost my sense of time and, like, very pivotal years of my 20s. So, like, I kept having this, like, weird thing where I'm, like, getting into my late 20s, but still very much feeling like I'm in my early 20s, if not 19. to the point where people would even ask me how old I was, and I would say years younger. Uh-huh. In the moment, really believing it to be true because my sense of time was warped.
Yeah,
completely warped.
I know. Everybody's was. It was hard right. to understand because, like, really, 2020 and 2021 was like kind of like they like
until didn't 2022 exist, really. Even.
Yeah,
I would
that's
say.
What I'm saying. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I would say maybe a good 2-3 years. It felt like it.
I mean, that was for everybody right. because some places just didn't open up. I mean, like,
but it wasn't until this year,
yeah,
till Kilimanjaro,
yeah.
that I was aware and what made me aware of my age and time and all this yeah. is ironically going off the grid, mm-hmm. but truly, but there was a group of 6 of us, including mm-hmm. me, who went up this mountain mm-hmm. and 3 of the girls were very young. One was 19, one was 20, oh, wow, one was 23.
Cool. That's awesome.
And they're very much woo kind of girls, right?
Yeah.
And I never really was a woo girl. Uh-huh. But, like, especially with just, like, how dynamic, energetic they were, I was like, whew, I'm 29. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I knew I was my age, and they were so cute.
Yeah.
And, like, so grateful for their energy in this trip.
I mean, sometimes you need that kind of.
I needed it, for sure, because I was not functioning on that level at all.
Yeah.
But it was so amazing for me because, like, even just, like, last week, my friend's 25, and mm-hmm. I was talking about turning 30 and this experience that I had, and she was like, well, you know, they say the 30s are your new 20s.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? No. Like, my 20s were my 20s, uh-huh. and my 30s are going to be my 30s.
Yeah,
and I'm so grateful for aging, and, like, every decade is going to be whatever it is, and I'm going to have my own experiences, mm-hmm. but, like, I don't feel the need to, like, hold on to my youth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I – and that's somewhere where I'm at as well. Like, okay. I'm going to be 38 Friday. So, like, and it's crazy for me to think and feel that because I still, I do feel young. Like, I don't feel like I think mine's like, oh, wow, I'm closer to 40. And that is a trip in itself. Like, 30s was great. Like, me being 29 to 30, I was so excited. But me being 38 and gonna be 40, it's like, I didn't think I was going to have this reaction, but I'm here for it. I'm in it. So let's see what happens. I'm not there yet. I'm fast forwarding. So I'm like trying to be like, all right.
Present.
Yeah. Stay in the present. Enjoy where you're at now. And like, let's see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, cause like you are turning 38, but it is still another 2 years before you're 40.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so much can happen in 2 years too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So much. Yeah. I know. So we'll see. Yeah. Maybe we'll come back.
Yeah.
On the podcast.
You know, I mean, yes, already, yes. But wait, so going back to, so you're back in St. Louis. From that point to connecting with breath and exposure, what was journey like?
That journey was, you know, I didn't have like a lot of my community, like, you know, before I left, I wasn't really friends with anymore. Like a few people here and there. So I was looking for that community and I don't know, just life and like how things unfold and connections I had in the past actually is how me and Josh got connected at CrossFit 26. You know, he was, they asked me to coach there and he was running the breath and exposure stuff already. And we connected. I was like, wait, someone's teaching breath? Like, cause breath work was already like popular where I was living between Thailand and Bali. So like I was,
and he's not stereotypical. In terms
of
what
it wasn't,
expect.
That's what I mean. It wasn't what I expected. So when I think it was like 2019, like I was in Bali and like friends were going to Wim Hof workshops and I already knew about it. And they're like, I see colors. And I was like, oh, that sounds amazing. So they would teach me about it. And like, you know, I knew it existed. I knew breathwork was there. So having to hear about it existing in St. Louis and mm-hmm. I had this like really conscious community that was like, you know, budding. And I was like, what is happening in St. Louis right now? This is kind of cool. So being able to meet, like Josh and, you know, along the way, like everybody else from the dope crew to, you know, have you been to dope yet?
I went there.
Yeah. So meeting them and like mm-hmm. Cody and like, and just everybody. And then Will and Pete from, you know, R12, like I love where we are in our like fitness community in St. Louis. Like everybody is just like wanting everyone to win.
Yeah.
You know?
Truly.
And no, really. And that's why it's like cool because like I also coached CrossFit for a while. So like my journey, like my inner journey and my outward journey are like colliding and matching because I decided like right when I started coaching breathwork, I wanted to stop coaching fitness because I just didn't feel like I I was like in that space anymore. Like yeah. I didn't want to exert myself in that way. Cause it was very like more masculine. And I think I really wanted to come back into my feminine a little bit more, just the softer space.
You're
and, like,
speaking my language.
Yeah. So yeah. I think I got to that point where like, it was exactly like, I mean, Josh is like, you know, he's a nice, he's like the yin and yang. He's a perfect balance of like, you know, femininity and masculinity. Of course he like is more masculine, but he has both, you know, and that's what we all have. And that's what I strive for.
Yeah.
So like,
he's found that good balance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, in like, you know, having him as a coach and a mentor and like, you know, it's been, what do you call it? A crucial part of like my growth and like who I've become now. And like same thing with like meeting Cody and Kristen and everybody in that group. Like we're all just like so close and like family, you know, and it's just like,
yeah,
it's definitely like shaped everything.
Yeah.
Up until this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to also, this is something really cool that we could talk about. I don't think has been talked on a podcast yet.
Yeah.
Is the retreat that you guys just did.
Yeah.
Cause that looked like such a cool experience. I was going
back
and forth in my head about going to it or not, but like I wasn't prepared after Kilimanjaro to be with nature again yet.
Yeah.
That was such a shock to me that I needed a moment, but I'm craving it a little bit again.
Yeah.
So.
You know, doing this, like 2 weeks ago now? It was 2 weeks ago. Yeah, it was so good. It was so good. It was, I don't know what we all expected. I think because of the fact it was all our first retreat.
Right.
But being able to host and facilitate and just like be like able to hold a safe and fun like learning container for everybody was really cool. And it like lit us all up in a way where we're like, yeah, let's do this again. And like, not, and of course, like you dream big because like, you're just like, let's not just do it only at Lost Hill Lake with Sam. It's like, let's do it everywhere, you know, or let's partner with other people. And like, what does that look like? And, you know, obviously our like wheels are turning and seeing what the possibilities are at Endless. But yeah. We learned a lot. Like I learned a lot during that trip too, or doing the retreat, in ways we could communicate better and make it better for everybody. So to shape the future retreats.
So walk me through, like if I were coming to a retreat, what would I be walking into?
Well, so a lot of it was, we wanted some element of surprise, like, you know what I mean? But now we're like, oh, should we share with everybody? But like, there was a lot of, ways of connecting. So I implemented like authentic relating workshops. So like basically being able to like speak with intention and allowing people to get to know each other and be on that same foundational level, like going into the retreat. Josh led some CO2 tolerance training, like dry land training, like where we like nasal breathe. Doing like movements and workouts. So that was like his thing. And Cody led like a more somatic like workshop where we were like feeling into our feelings and being able to color and draw.
Wow.
And there was like a lot of time for play as well. So, and Kristen led the breath work and the cold exposure and, you know, the sauna bits and like, and we just had like a really good time. And then Sam, you know, the glue that held it all together to like keep the schedule going and having amazing food by our chef Courtney Valencia. And that was like amazing in itself. Like having someone take care of food was like such a big deal to us.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And we also had like fun drinks. There's so much more to go out about that because like we haven't even like release any like reels or, you know, follow-ups because I think we've just been so busy like building it that we like needed this like soft landing because now we're like, oh, we need to breathe a little bit.
And process.
Yeah.
Especially like, as the hosts.
Yeah, exactly. So like, and we're all still doing it on ourselves. So like I'm planning to like put out some posts and reels of what we did so we can create some, a little bit of FOMO. maybe JOMO, joy of missing out.
I definitely already have FOMO.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but there was another thing you didn't mention. Josh told me there was like also some dancing.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
That was the one thing you told me about it.
Yeah, the last night we did a static dance workshop and I led that one. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it was only my second time leading an ecstatic
dance. Wait, like full picture?
Yeah.
How like our full circle? Like,
yeah.
Dancing under the moon with
Luna. I know. That's the craziest part about it was that I didn't know it was going to be a full moon that night. It just happened.
No way. Yeah.
And it was so awesome. Like, it was just like exactly like the way it just kind of all happened. It was beautiful. And then like the playlist was intentional where it like got people like in their heart space and just kind of moving through the music. And I'm just kind of enjoying it and seeing where it led you. There was a lot of things that came up for me even that night. And but it was a lot of fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's bringing me back because like when I was in high school, this is pretty unique that we did this. But like when the season would start to turn after the winter and it started to get warm again, it was a very academic high school. So most of us would be like indoors, really pounding the pavement, trying to study for finals and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And our principal at the time, she really wanted us to like go out into nature, relax, connect as a group.
Yeah.
So every year
really cool.
We would go out to some random place in Missouri. There was like a rotation of different like lodges and cabins.
Yeah.
And they would do all these workshops to help us like team build, learn about ourselves as like they would bring up speakers for us. It's very unique now that I think about it. Like,
no,
as a high school.
It is really cool. Yeah.
But it was amazing. Like, you know.
And I'll say this thing about it. I'll add this. I read Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Great book. There's this tiny piece in it that's like almost slightly overlooked because it's within a chapter, but it talks about being in nature and how there's like synergy there because there's balance. And it's like when you think about it, there's chaos, but not in the way of disrupt. It's like with the natural flow of life, right? Like how things go, like, you know, things die, get eaten or whatever, but it's like kind of like how it's supposed to be. It's just a rhythm, right? Everybody go watch Lion King, you know, Mufasa will tell you.
Yeah.
And it's like that kind of thing. But like, I always hung on to that because I kept thinking about how, like urban areas, concrete jungles, like cities have the most like crime rates, you know? And it's like, and you have to wonder what would happen, you know, if everybody had to be in nature, like, again, you know, and had to be like, that was like part of our requirement to like live as humans, is you had to sleep under a blanket of stars and be in, you know, one with the water, the grass. And like, it sounds so silly, but like, it's so true. Like, you know, I feel like there's something in it that creates a balance in us because we are, you know, we are part of nature.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And sometimes you don't realize the effects that it had on you until you come back to civilization.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, I would say this will be a little teaser because I do plan on doing a solo episode to like discuss my Kilimanjaro journey.
Yeah.
I'm still processing and reflecting and trying to figure out how I want to do it because I've also never done a solo episode.
Yeah.
So it's a little more challenging. But I will say my little teaser is while there is the beauty and like the, would you say this symbiotic? Or
The synergy.
Synergy. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. The synergy of like being in nature and the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Nature is also just a mirror to you.
Oh, girl. I know.
You know what I mean?
That's funny that you mentioned this. I wasn't going to bring this up, but like, because it happened at the retreat and it's a closed container, but like something happened with me. Like I, you know, when there was a moment after the static dance that I didn't show up as my best self, and I wish I did. And yeah, it was a mirror. I didn't practice the pause, let's just say that. But in that moment, but then like I did catch myself also at the same moment. So then I did practice the pause, but I was like a little too late on, you know, but enough to where I learned the lesson and I was able to like be like, okay, I do. Yeah, it is a full-on mirror.
I will say something I just learned that totally aligns with what you're saying is like if it makes you feel any better, I wish I can quote who said this, but I heard like a little clip from a podcast and they were saying, you don't have control over the first thought or maybe the first reaction,
but
you have control over the second thought and second reaction, right?
That's literally what happened.
So that's the transformation.
Yeah. And that's literally exactly what happened. And it's like crazy how even as a coach and a facilitator and someone that practices this, and it's like,
human.
We're not shielded from it. It's like, dang, we're in it just as much as anybody else is.
You know? It's a practice.
And yeah, it is. And I just, it's ongoing learning, and I am grateful for like the reflection I got from it, because it literally like allowed me to like see it. And I was like, oh yeah, that was not cool. Like, and I don't ever want to do that again.
So one day, like, it's so amazing and awesome that you were able to share that with us.
Yeah.
But also,
I wasn't planning to be honest. Like,
it just felt right.
It almost felt like if I didn't say it, it felt like I wasn't being completely honest with myself.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But one day, as you do the work, as you do the practice, maybe there's that concept of you can't control your first thought.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do that inner work,
Eventually
over time, there's that evolution where that first thought is, that first reaction is what it should be, you know, and that will be a cool day.
You'll have this moment
again
it's going to
be the same challenge and you're going to handle it well and how you wish you would have handled it this past time.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be like, wow.
Yay me.
Look at me growing up.
I can't wait.
And it will, you know, but awareness is the first step, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
I want to be respectful of your time because I know you are giving us your lunch break.
Yeah.
So that being said, I have this tradition at the end of my podcast where I have this Hebrew quote that this whole podcast is based on, which is Ezeh Chacham, Halamei Mikol Adam, which means one who is wise is one who learns from everyone. Mm. And we have learned so much from you.
This has been so good.
This has been so great.
Yeah.
But if you can leave us with one last little nugget. What's your favorite life lesson or quote?
This has been sitting with me recently, like this past couple weeks. It's you have not because you ask not.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So just ask, you know, put it out there, in the world, invite the world to come in and come into your space and see what you get back, you know?
What a full circle moment.
Yeah.
So what can my audience do to support you?
Come to Breath and Exposure classes. Follow us on Breath and Exposure STL. You'll find me at Life and Luna on Instagram. And, you know, never know what I'm up to. So might be coming out with some fun things happening. Maybe a book.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Throwing that in there.
Okay. Well, I'll have to bring you back on after.
Now,
this is like you're held to it, right? It's on live camera.
Yeah. Okay. Keep me accountable.
So we're going to put all of the links so people can follow you and follow Breath and Exposure and book a course, book a class.
Yeah.
This is so great. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah. Thank you again.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this has been another great episode. Thank you so much for listening or watching. And if you're not currently watching, the video is on Spotify and YouTube. And I'm really trying to grow my YouTube channel. So if you are not already subscribed, what are you doing with your life? Please go to YouTube and subscribe. I hope you guys have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go.